The presenter is Darcy McManus, Wisconsin Family Court Commissioner. Ms. McManus.
Thank you, Chief Justice, Justices, for entertaining our motion. As you can see, we're asking simply that there be two court commissioners on the Judicial Education Committee, one from the Family Court Commissioners Association, one from the what we call the Judicial Court Commissioners Association. I see that you do have response from the committee itself seeming to approve of that request. I don't know that there's much more I really need to say about it.
They seem to, however, take a little different tact, and I would appreciate your comments with regard to their approach. As I understand their approach, at least number one, it is the court that appoints rather than the respective entities that designate. And secondly, a different change was that in their language there was no requirement that the two would be from each respective group. So if you would respond to those and anything else that you may desire.
Certainly, I agree with that. And in fact, Todd Moyer and I were speaking about that as we came in. And as Todd said, we should have thought of that, the fact that the Supreme Court really should be appointing and selecting the members. So obviously that's clear. And I think also that there is probably right that there not be a restriction that it come from each association. There may be a court commissioner who doesn't belong to the association. There may be commissioners who belong to both. And I think that this gives a little more flexibility to the court. So I absolutely think those are great ideas.
There are many commissioners who are both across
yes.
the
well,
state.
Some, yes, there are.
And the only designees that are not from the Supreme Court are the deans who designate, but many times they sit themselves. And if it's their designate, they represent the law school's position. So you have no objection to the Supreme Court making appointments or that the appointments be...
Absolutely not. It makes perfect sense to
not
us.
Not limited to either association because they don't represent the association. I don't want to have to sit with them and then have to say, well, I can't decide that because I have to call the association.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I have a question about that, though. I understand what you just said about not limiting it to the associations, but my understanding of the reason for the request was that there's kind of a recognition that there's a difference between family court commissioners and judicial court commissioners. Is that something that you would like, if the Supreme Court were to adopt the proposal and only do the appointing, is that something that you would like the Supreme Court to take into account in making its appointments, that you've got a difference between the types of court commissioners that are out there?
I'm sure the Supreme Court would do that, and it would make perfect sense. It would make sense to the court, I believe, and it makes sense to us to call on people who have perhaps a little bit different focus, some who maybe do the criminal and traffic or the juvenile or the small claims, and perhaps one that does family.
Well, you understand, I hope, that the committee approves CLE credits, but it's not limited to commissioners. And the people who are on the committee deal with commissioners, staff attorneys, judges, trial court judges, court of appeal judges, Supreme Court justices across the board and vote on all of that. In fact, commissioner education is the smallest, probably one of the smallest aspects of what we do.
We certainly understand that. We commissioners are invited to many of the judicial training sessions.
Right.
And I think that we bring perhaps just a slightly different perspective. And so I think that we can contribute.
Okay. But as such, I don't know that the judicial, just so you understand what the function of the Judicial Education Committee is, whether you're invited to any particular judicial education function depends on many things, including one, the subject matter, and two, space limitations.
Right, I understand that. Okay. I understand that the committee is there to set up the conferences. We may or may not be involved in the conferences that
right.
we're
Committee generally is not. It's usually at after the fact, although we do some programming. But most of that is left to Mr. Haas and to particular committees that function on each particular program. But then we look at the evaluations.
Right.
Okay. Ms. McManus, I want to thank you not only for presenting this petition, but also on behalf of the court. Okay, I'm going to thank first, Orin.
Okay.
Then you can say something that may undercut my thanks, but that's another issue. But I want to thank you also for serving on, I think it's PPAC, right?
Yes.
Which is also a very important committee in bringing not only your personal views, but your views as a longstanding court commissioner.
Thank you. It's absolutely been my pleasure to serve in that capacity.
PPAC has worked out very well and has become very, very significant in a whole variety of things. So thank you. Okay, now, Justice Prosser, what do you have to say?
Commissioner McManus, as an old politician, I understand there's a certain value in simply having representation on a body, and that signifies recognition. Going beyond that sort of political aspect, what do you see? You use the phrase, we bring a different perspective. How is this going to change? Is this going to change programming? Or what's the real substantive effect of this?
I don't know if it will or will not change programming. I think that we, since there are so many, I'm speaking from family court commissioners right now, there are a lot of us, and a lot of us do attend a wide variety of conferences. Many that are not just aimed at legal training, although we get legal credits for them, or judicial credits in our case. But it may expose us to some different speakers, some different topics, some different issues than perhaps the judges have been exposed to. And we can draw on our outside experiences to make suggestions for programming. And again, I'm speaking from the family court arena because that's the one I'm most familiar with, but the judges have a lot of training on family court. And I just think that we might bring, as I say, just that little bit different experience.
If I might say, I think that is not where the primary effect of the commissioners will be. Because in that, you'd have to get on different committees. And they were really ad hoc planning for particular programs. Although the Judicial Education Committee periodically but not systemically or frequently deals with the particular programs. But court commissioners go to the Judicial Education Committee for approval of their continuing education credits. To the extent that the commissioners attend programs that are sponsored by the Judicial Education Division, you get the same credit all the judges get. To the extent that the commissioners come in asking for credit for other programming, just like judges do, then the committee looks at each of those separately. And then the question would be whether or not the commissioners sitting on that committee would have greater insight as to the significance of that program for the commissioners.
And I certainly would think that would, I would hope that would be the case.
Yes. And so it seems to me that's the potential. And there have been, both for judges and for commissioners, programs that are not approved for continuing judicial education because the committee did not think that they were of educational value for the job. They may be broadly educational value. There may have been a few of those. I'm not sure that the commissioners, if they sat on the committee, would have disagreed. But they might have. But that's okay. But I think that's possible. But to the extent that that you think that there might be other speakers or other kinds of programs, not only use the Judicial Education Committee, but I strongly would urge the two associations to write the committee and David Haas saying, what do you think of this? Because we don't do programming, especially for commissioners, as you know. And I'm not sure that that's going to change because of the limited staff we have.
Right. Yeah. I think, frankly, that Justice Prosser hit on a very important issue, actually, for us, and it goes to what you've been saying as well. With having a commission, with commissioners, assuming we do get a place on that committee, it gives us one more point of contact with all the levels of the courts and one more opportunity to learn, you know, how we can be more involved in the overall structure of the behind-the-scenes things with the courts. Many of us like to do that. Many of us, particularly outstate, don't really see how we can do that. But we have this way, we have a conduit, a communication going back and forth, we would hope, between the associations and the committee and learning of other opportunities. So I think it could be a benefit for us, and then I think the system might benefit as well from our involvement.
That's right, just as you do on PPAC.
Correct, exactly.
Where you add a dimension that is not otherwise at the table. And that has proved very valuable. The other thing that I think will be valuable is that for your own programming, because you do judicial education programming, to know what's happening at the state level for judicial education. And you can fill in gaps that you think we're not covering.
Absolutely. I think the communication and the information sharing will go both ways and be a benefit to all of us.
And I think you would find that the evaluations that we get each time there's a meeting quarterly will help you plan for better programs, because you could use those to not have particular speakers and not particular subjects, et cetera, or do a better job on those areas.
Absolutely.
That's why I'm going to vote against this. That's a joke.
I was hoping that was the case.
Thank you. Anything else? Go ahead.
One other comment. I thought I heard you say that you didn't object to the court making appointments, but that you sort of anticipated there would be a judicial court commissioner and a family court commissioner. My point is, there are other court commissioners as well. For example, the court commissioners of the Supreme Court and the staff attorneys of the Court of Appeals who might wish to weigh in. So
that's certainly possible. I don't think that this has been, from the way you're talking, I don't think that you're limiting it to just
there's a definition here, I think.
There is in the statute, in the rules.
Two circuit court commissioners.
Is the proposal.
Was it circuit court commissioners?
In the proposal that came from John Velker via the committee, it's that way, the ultimate way.
Two circuit court commissioners, right.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Well, you know, once every millennium, it's okay.
I'm not touching that.
Because circuit court commissioners must earn 60 education credits each period of 6 years, which is the same for all the state court judges,
correct,
which I'm using for meaning trial, appellate, Supreme Court. Right. Okay. Any other questions? Thanks again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks
Ms.
for this opportunity.
Mr. Moyer, you've been crossed off my list, but we're glad to see you anyway. I don't have any other appearance. Are there any? You've changed your mind. I said you're crossed on my list as a presenter, which is fine, but I'm glad to see you here. Are there any other appearances? Hearing none, the hearing on 0707 is closed. I'll now go to 0708 in the matter of the petition for amendment of Supreme Court Rule SCR 3104 relating to the creation of a comity rule for continuing legal education. The presenter is John Kosobucki. And you will present. I have down James Houston of as appearing and Thomas Basting. Is there anyone else who wishes to be heard on that at the moment? Okay. Mr. Kosobucki.
Thank you, Chief Justice Abramson, distinguished members of this honorable court. May it please the court. Pleasure to be here again on this occasion. I'm also pleased to have Attorney Jim Houston, who is the chair of the Rules Committee, who was instrumental in drafting the proposed rule that forms this petition. The proposed rule before you represents unprecedented and groundbreaking collaboration between the State Bar and the BBE in drafting this rule. I think we've worked together to develop a rule which is satisfactory to all and which will help State Bar members, particularly non-resident lawyers, in meeting the CLE requirements. I'm just going to give you a brief background, and then I'll let Attorney Houston talk about how the rule was formulated. This actually goes back over 3 years ago when the State Bar's BBE Review Committee proposed a broad-based rule that non-resident attorneys who meet the requirements in their state would meet Wisconsin's requirements. In January 2005, the BBE considered it and felt that was a little bit too broad. In May of 2005, the State Bar CLE Committee also raised some objections to the BBE Review Committee's proposal. And it kind of sat there for about a year until June of 2006, when under the auspices of then State Bar President Steve Levine, he raised the issue to the BBE again. And at that time, Steve Levine and Bob Astey from the BBE's review committee of the State Bar came and spoke before the Board of Bar Examiners and raised the issue. We had a nice discussion at that time, and then after Steve and Bob Astey left, the board continued its discussion. At that time, the board had some concerns about the types of activities that certain jurisdictions give for CLE credit, including such activities as serving on state legislatures, home study, bar review study, professional work, pro bono work, public service activities such as speaking at community groups and church groups and school groups, and service on various boards and committees. At that time, the Board of Bar Examiners felt that they could support comity in principle if it had certain main functions, including duration of the courses, mode of presentation, and that it would include an ethics component. And that was the charter that Board Chair Constantine gave to the Rules Committee, and Jim Houston and his committee then went about drafting a proposal, which is now before you in amended form. In June of this year, almost a year after the Rules Committee started its work, we had a final draft that the BBE approved, and I submitted as a petition. The State Bar's Board of Governors reviewed it in September and suggested some alternate language, which our Board of Bar Examiners reviewed in October and drafted some additional alternate language, which is the amended petition. I think the final petition that is in front of you meets the requirements of both the Board of Bar Examiners and the State Bar, particularly the non-resident lawyers, in that the CLE requirements in other jurisdictions would have to be substantially similar in content, including legal ethics and professional responsibility, mode of presentation, and duration, and that the Board of Bar Examiners would make the determination of which jurisdictions meet the requirements of Wisconsin rules. And that's why we're here today, because we feel that this is something that's beneficial to all Wisconsin attorneys, wherever they are located.
And I favor the comity in principle. I think that's a good idea. I think it's where you have a lawyer who principally practices outside the state.
Yes, ma'am.
If the lawyer has no practice in the state, then doesn't have to fill any CLE requirements in any jurisdiction, right?
Well, depending on the jurisdiction, he may have some jurisdiction.
Oh, yeah, but if he does not
practice in Wisconsin at all, he can elect the exemption here.
Right, even if he's less listed or she's listed as active.
Correct.
Okay. What bothers me about this is we're getting back into the same problem you have in reciprocity for foreign license, for someone who's licensed in Georgia to be licensed here under a foreign license, because, and the problem there is you have to look at 50 jurisdictions to decide what is or isn't similar to Wisconsin and impose those requirements. And do you have something that's going to open that up? Do you have a rule that you're considering?
Yes, ma'am. Attorney Houston and his committee have drafted a proposal which would effectively eliminate the reciprocity that we currently have with 30 jurisdictions. And the final proposal would be that an attorney who is licensed and has practice
three out of five, or nine out of 11, whatever it
is. And meets the character and fitness and is in good standing
in that
jurisdiction.
Simple, which
Correct.
Used to be the rule in this state.
Correct.
But what you're doing now in this is going back to the same problems we're going to try. You're at least going to try and get rid of it. Whether you're successful or not, I don't know. So a lawyer who's practiced principally in another U.S. jurisdiction, which has mandatory CLA requirements, okay, but are substantially similar in content, including legal ethics and professional responsibility requirements. So if they require two and we require three, what are you going to do? You can't do it. Mode of presentation, I don't know exactly what that means. We may do interactive. The other jurisdiction does not. Duration, they may have 45 minutes. We have 50. I don't know how carefully that's monitored either here. And it was current in meeting the jurisdiction's requirement. Why don't we have a very simple one that a lawyer whose practice is principally in another U.S. jurisdiction, which has mandatory CLE requirements, and who is current in meeting those requirements, is exempt from 3102, but shall comply with 3103? I mean, you're jumping back into the fire on this one, and it's even worse for me. I mean, I think it's easier to figure out what their licensing requirements are than to figure out the 1,000,002 CLE credits that they give.
That is a valid point. The concern that our board had is the jurisdictions which give credit, CLE credit, for such activities as serving in a state legislature, which is...
Well, what's the matter with serving in the state legislature? I'm sure it's very educational.
I'm certain Justice Crosser.
I'm not so sure it's always educational. But, I mean, I think you can make an argument for that. You don't have to make it, Justice Crosser. And we've had any number of prior legislators on this. I mean, I agree that sitting on the Judicial Education Committee, I probably would not vote that somebody who's doing a day job should get credit for it. In fact, we don't. But it just strikes me. How many people do you think are going to fit within this? You got a figure of 23%, 3,500 possibly.
Possibly.
Yeah, but many of them are just don't practice here at all.
Correct. So
just
a
keeping
significant
their
portion
license,
could elect
yeah.
the exemption.
So just strikes me you're going to have to look at all of that. Then you're going to have to not only look at the CLE requirements, but suppose that the state gives credit for serving in the legislature, but this guy never served, so he doesn't. Well, he served, but he only got 3 credits for it, and he already had more than 60. He had 80. So you have to pick through his to see whether he got the right credits.
No, ma'am. As long as he met the requirements, if a jurisdiction requires 30 in a two-year period, and he's got those 30 credits.
But that jurisdiction gives credit for being a legislator.
Well, that was our concern, is that it would have to be a physical course that
I know, but then you have to pick through that guy's. He's got to file with you. He's not only going to file with you that he's done 60 credit hours, but he's going to file with you all of his listed CLE programs that he attended. Then you're going to look through each of them, decide whether it's kosher?
Not necessarily. I think what we were considering was that on the CLE report form, there would be an additional block that the attorney would make a certification that I certify that I have met the CLE requirements of my home jurisdiction of
X state.
You're
setting up that. No one understands any of that. You're setting that lawyer up for then being accused of lying, cheating.
Well, they make the certification on the current form, too, so.
That they've taken your credits.
That they have.
Okay. I think that's fair enough, but then those credits have been approved by BBA already.
Correct.
Here, which they haven't been approved.
Right.
I mean, I started out, I favor the comedy. I think it's silly to put the lawyer through a double reporting. I really do. I favor it. I just am concerned that what you're doing is exactly what for years we've had complaints about from BBE, that it's just too much work and too difficult to evaluate.
Okay. Understand.
Okay. Thank you. Does anyone have any other questions of Mr. Kasabar? Thank you. Mr. Houston, now that the attack has been started, how are you?
Let me speak to the questions that you're, or to the point that you're making, which is, from my position on the Rules Committee and on the board, I think I have a feeling for sort of the legislative history of this mm-hmm. language. It is certainly not our intent to make repeated investigations as to whether Alabama is going to be satisfied the Wisconsin requirements mm-hmm. for content, mode, and so forth and so on. The idea, and in fact, I made a quick and dirty survey of all of the states and came to the conclusion, which I reported to the board in suggesting that they approve this language, that all of the states have substantially similar programs to Wisconsin's. So it would be my idea, and I cannot speak for what the board is going to do when it meets on this point, but it's my thought that essentially all of the states would qualify. If they have only 12 hours or they require 40-minute periods or only require 2 hours of ethics instead of three, in my view, and it was a view that was not objected to on the board, that is substantially similar. Now, as to whether one's day job as a legislator or, and that's not even the worst of some of these examples that have been paraded before us, I think we could easily say you can, your state qualifies, but not your rule for service in the state legislature. And I would not propose to lay on the staff the job of going through, as you suggested, every out-of-state lawyer's report to determine whether she had claimed credit for serving on the state legislature. Rather, simply to have this box to be checked to say, I understand the Wisconsin requirements for the state of Alabama, and I have qualified for it.
If you're right that they're substantially similar, how many
legislators? We will have said once that all of these listed states are substantially similar. It's not something that we are going to look at each lawyer's report.
And why don't we change this to say what you're actually doing, which is mandatory CLR requirements that the BBE has certified as substantially similar in content, substantially similar to Wisconsin's, and who is current in meeting that jurisdiction's requirement is exempt. Then it's your job to certify. You certify Alabama, except the legislative meeting. That's fine. I mean, that should be your onus, because that's not how this reads. Well, do you know what I'm trying to say, Mr. Houston?
I do. And the last sentence of this proposal was an attempt to do just what you say, and that is that whether another jurisdiction's requirements are substantially similar shall be determined periodically by the board. That's what we meant to
then
say.
Then let's just put that in the first sentence and knock out that, because that's not, I don't think that's clear enough. The BBE will determine periodically. In jurisdictions, it was mandatory requirements that the BBE will determine periodically are substantially similar to Wisconsin's. Something like that, all in one, so we don't have any onus on the lawyer. Okay?
We did not intend an onus on the lawyer, and that language would be fine with us.
Right. Okay, so I don't want to draft it here, but the concept would be you certify the determine periodically whether the jurisdiction is similar. Okay? Good.
I would one request, if the board, if the court adopts a rule of this kind, I would ask that it not be effective until the reporting period that ends in December of 2008. It's too late in this year for this to be effective.
So this will be effective for the reporting period ending December 31, 2008.
Yes.
Okay. Sounds good.
Can I answer any other questions?
Mr. Houston, is there any relationship between pro bono service and continuing education?
There is not in Wisconsin, and my quick instinctive answer to your question is that no, it's not something that should be given CLE credit.
There have been times, to the best of my recollection, that service on certain boards was at least fleetingly considered as satisfactory for earning some kind of continuing legal education credit. What would be the reaction if that were the rule in another state?
Wisconsin, I believe, has a rule. It's either a court rule or it's one of the board's own rules in its appendix, that if you serve on the Office of Lawyer Responsibility, you can have some ethics credit for that. In my view, the obligation of lawyers to do pro bono work is pretty distinct from every lawyer's obligation to maintain expertise in her field. I don't see them as being correlative, and I would not be in favor of awarding CLE credit for pro bono work.
Well, periodically, there have been suggestions that you might want to make various activities more desirable for lawyers. And one way of making something desirable is to give CLE credits for it. So there have been suggestions that floated. I don't know that any have come to the court, but have been floating, that you give credit for pro bono activity. That would make it more desirable and reduces the cost, because to the extent you got 1 hour of CLE for every 3 hours of pro bono, you have reduced, if you say that CLE costs like $50 an hour, that's really giving $150 for pro bono services. Another activity for which there's been some call for CLA credits is committee work of various sorts, whether it be for the bar or for the court or for a national organization or serving on a nonprofit entity's board. again, which is a type of pro bono, and that to make that more desirable. If they've ever come to the court, they've never been accepted for the reasons that you have just stated. And that would not be germane to this particular.
I think it would not. I guess the point would be, is the board of bar examiners, when it looks at Mississippi's requirements,
right,
if it offers credit for CLE for pro bono work, will we approve that? And I can't speak for the board. My vote would be against it.
Have any members of the State Bar of Wisconsin working in Ontario?
I don't know. I think there are people here who could answer your question.
If there is continuing legal education in a jurisdiction outside the United States, this rule does not deal with those people. It doesn't help them, as I gather.
As far as I know, the thought never occurred to us. I think I don't see a problem with including them within the rule. Certainly the spirit of the rule would accommodate Ontario or...
Well, you have a lot of lawyers in England. You have lawyers in Paris. You've got them in Singapore. You have lawyers, American lawyers, in and probably Wisconsin lawyers. In fact, I know Wisconsin lawyers in China. But I don't know that any of them have mandatory legal education.
I don't know that either, Your Honor.
And I don't know enough about Canada, nor do I know enough about England, let alone the continent. But they probably were previously listed as not practicing in the United States for the year. Therefore, they don't have to comply with anything. But if they comply with England and it's mandatory, and they keep their active status.
I assume most of those lawyers are licensed in some United States jurisdiction. I don't know that. That's just a guess. And so I would assume they would try to meet the requirements of Mississippi or whatever state it is.
Recollection is correct. You were with Foley?
Yes.
And didn't Foley have any of its lawyers in London?
No. We had a couple of lawyers in Belgium at the time I was with the firm, and I think a couple
from Wisconsin?
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know.
But it could have been.
Certainly could have been.
Okay. Thank you, Mr.
Houston. Thank you,
Mr. Basting.
Thank you, Chief Justice, members of the court. May it please the court. My name is Tom Basting. I'm president of the State Bar of Wisconsin. It just occurred to me as I was sitting here that perhaps serving as president of the State Bar could qualify for at least one seat.
I'm sorry, Mr. Basting. No. That handles that.
The Wisconsin State Bar is privileged as a mandatory bar to have 4,079 active non-resident lawyers who are licensed here in Wisconsin. The non-resident lawyers division of the state bar is a very active division, which is evidenced this morning by the fact that four of them are present in the courtroom for this hearing, including the president of the non-resident lawyers division, Attorney Donna Jones. This is a project that the non-resident lawyers division, in partnership with members of the bar leadership, have been working on over the past decade. And I think the issue this morning that you have identified, Chief, is the issue of pure comity versus what I would call conditional comity. And the rule that is being proposed today is one of conditional comity as opposed to pure comity. The State Bar of Wisconsin, the Board of Governors, endorses this rule change unanimously by a vote that was taken at one of its last meetings. And I came here this morning to let the court know that and to answer any questions which the court may have of the state bar on this issue. You asked the question of international representation. I think we have a few, a very small number of lawyers who practice in other countries, such as Canada or European countries and perhaps China. It's a very small number, but most of them, I would assume, would also be licensed in another state, would be a non-resident lawyer perhaps from New York. And I'm not sure about Foley at the present time, whether they have any lawyers practicing in other countries. So I can tell you that of the current, the states with the most non-resident active bar members now are Minnesota with 1,180, Illinois with 906, California 212, Virginia 183, Michigan 147, District of Columbia 121, Florida 117, and then Maryland, New York, and Arizona with somewhere between 90 and 100 in each of those states, and then it goes down from there. So those are the states that have the most active membership.
I do have a question, if I may. I just want to make sure I understand or envision how this will work. As I understand it, you have about 4,000 non-resident lawyers. And about 25% of that number are lawyers who are also engaged in the practice of law in the state of Wisconsin who would benefit from this conditional comity. Is that what we're talking about here, 25% of the 4,000?
I'm not certain.
It was in some submission to the court.
Some head shaking no here, so.
All right. Okay. Then let's assume that it is 25% of 4,000. Then what will happen is BBE will take a look at the states and see which have rules that are substantially similar to ours with regard to CLE approval and education requirements. And let's say those are 35 in number. I'm just picking that up. There will be some states, like the state of Michigan, which has no CLE requirements, as I understand it, that the Board of Bar Examiners will still have to go through individually, because obviously they're not substantially similar. They have nothing. There will be some states that have CLE requirements, but have these conditions that may not be acceptable for the state of Wisconsin. So the BBE will have to go through the applications of members who practice in those states individually. But for the 35 that are certified as substantially similar, as long as they have met the requirements in those 35 states and certify, they check off that they've met those requirements, there's no more to be done by BBE. Taking my assumptions as correct, whether or not they are, is my explanation of the process consistent with your understanding?
Yes, yes. And I think the BBE, as Mr. Kasabucky indicated, is that is the process that he would envision would occur if this rule is adopted.
Okay, what does Minnesota do, since that's the biggest one? They don't have any reciprocity at all. They're not listed. We're looking. I don't know what Justice Bradley's looking at. I'm looking at a memo from BBE Review Committee to the State Bar Board of Governors, June 20, 2006. That's where we got the 4,025%, when only active members are considered, page 2. Then you have one quarter of the non-resident bar members indicate that they practice in Wisconsin, so one-fourth of 4,000 is 1,000. And then you've got their various statements. Then it says CLE problems at the bottom of 2. Active non-resident bar members responding to our survey indicated a number of problems in complying with Wisconsin's CLE requirements. In order of importance, these were described as, colon, inconsistent reporting periods between Wisconsin and home state. I don't see that this rule is going to change that, because we stay the same, and they have to do it as of the end of the year.
I agree.
Then it says burdensome paperwork and forms filing. I think that if this was modified to make clear that the burden is on BBE, not on the individual lawyer as to content, that would get rid of that problem. Keeping track of multiple state requirements, you still have to do that, because if the state has credit for being state bar president and in the legislature, the lawyer has to take that into account and still keep track of appropriate number of hours, because he might satisfy Arkansas, but he's not going to satisfy Wisconsin.
Correct.
So that's not going to do it. And it says non-acceptance of non-Wisconsin CLE courses by BBE. We're still there with this new rule, because BBE is not going to accept state bar president. It's not going to accept the legislature. So the added expense and time involved in complying, you're going to get some of that. It's going to take care of it. And then it goes on to say there are three categories. First, which is the majority, like Wisconsin, says you got to do it our way. Our way or no way. Second is reciprocity. If you fit your state, you fit everything. Third is comity, which is conditional. You may answer it. They will listen. I have to be excused for a moment. I'm sorry. I'll be right back.
The BBE is still going to have work to do, and I can tell you from the standpoint of having attended the non-resident lawyer division board meetings and having been involved with the non-resident lawyer group now for several years, that and where the difference comes between what the BBE is proposing and what the non-resident lawyers, if they had their druthers in a perfect world, would love to be able to convince this court that a pure comity rule should be adopted, and that is lawyers, non-resident lawyers in other states where they have continuing legal education requirements would satisfy Wisconsin's rule simply by participating in and satisfying the continuing legal education requirements in another state, regardless of what they were. So if you got credit for whatever, Wisconsin would be satisfied with that. And I can tell you that the non-resident lawyers in a perfect world would prefer that. From the state bar standpoint, when we looked at this, that was not the issue before the Board of Governors. And so this, in a way, represents, I don't want to say half a loaf, I would say three quarters of a loaf, as opposed to what our non-residents would prefer to see. Certainly, if this court saw fit to adopt a pure comity rule, you would find no objection from the non-resident lawyers. I can't speak for the Board of Governors on that issue, because that issue was not before the board when we took this vote. Only this proposal was before the board.
Any other questions? If not, thank you for your comments.
Thank you very much.
May I ask one other question?
Going. Sorry. Gone.
I had the privilege of swearing in last Friday a member of Navy JAG. If he is not practicing in Wisconsin, he doesn't have to comply with the rule now. That's correct. But
that's correct. That's correct.
Suppose he's not getting any. I mean, people in the military, are they getting continuing legal education?
If they're active in Wisconsin, I'm told that they have to meet all the requirements that Wisconsin requires to maintain their license here.
But they can be inactive, and then they're exempt from the attendance requirements.
Correct.
Is that correct?
And they don't have to necessarily take any continuing?
If they're inactive?
In Wisconsin?
No. If they're inactive, no. But that's the difference between the, they can check the inactive.
May I ask if there are any other questions from my colleagues? Hearing none, again, thank you for your presentation. Next on the roster of presenters, I understand we are going to have, I have Donna Jones listed, but is there someone else that's going to be presenting before Donna Jones? Okay, come then to the microphone so that you can be picked up, please.
Thank you. Your Honors, my name is Steve Levine. I'm a lawyer from Madison, past president of the bar, and I've also for years been a member of the State Bar's Board of Bar Examiner Review Committee. I just want to, I wasn't planning to speak, but just to elucidate a little bit on what Mr. Basting said. I don't think either the bar or the committee or the non-resident lawyers division would in any way protest if the court wanted to adopt what Mr. Basting referred to as a pure comedy rule rather than a comedy rule that contains the language where the Board of Bar Examiners reviews each state's requirements and approves or disapproves.
Yeah, you're not speaking on behalf of BBE when you make that statement, however. Is that correct?
Yes. This rule that you have before you is the result of a compromise. This has been in the works for, I think Mr. Casabucci mentioned, a three-year period that he's been involved in it. It goes back three or four years even before then. And I think at this point, the non-resident lawyers division and the committee's view is we want to support any reasonable version of comedy that we can get because this is something that we think is important for Wisconsin to adopt. But I think that from the committee and the non-resident lawyers division, a pure comedy rule would not be objectionable at all. Of all the states that have CLE comedy rules right now, only two of them are conditional. The rest are unconditional. And the two conditional states are Maine and Missouri. Maine has a condition in its CLE comedy rule that if someone wants CLE comedy rule, the advantages of their CLE comedy rule, they must come from a state that has ethics requirements. Well, that's irrelevant because all states with CLE comedy have ethics requirements. The other conditional state is Missouri, which has something similar to the rule proposed here. They require that the other state's CLE requirements be substantially similar to Missouri's. And I talked with the director of the Missouri CLE board, and I said, how do you administer this? And he said, we don't. Right from the beginning, when that language has been in there, we just looked over other states' requirements. We assumed that they were substantially similar to ours, and we've never reexamined. So, in a sense, even though Missouri has that substantially similar language in there, they also approve all other states. And we're hoping that if this language remains in there, that the Board of Bar Examiners here in Wisconsin will be as liberal and reasonable as the other states that have conditions and approve all other states, so it won't be a problem. But again, if the court were to adopt a pure CLE comedy rule, I don't think you would have any objection from anyone except perhaps the Board of Bar Examiners.
That seems to be a large exception.
Well, I'm personally very hopeful that even if that language stays in, the board is going to approve all other states. But I don't think the language is going to be, you know, relevant or that it's very important.
So maybe we should change it to so indicate that they should.
I wouldn't object.
I didn't hear Mr. Kasabaki objecting, or and Mr. Houston, if I heard him correctly, says in effect that's what it says now. It's just in the second sentence, not in the first sentence.
Mr. Levine, I honestly don't quite understand what pure comedy is. For instance...
Well, if you took out the language in this proposed rule, everything after the rule would say would go directly from which has mandatory CLE requirements
and
who is current in meeting those requirements. So you would take out all the language about the Board of Bar Examiners.
So pure comedy is not going to ever deal with a situation like Michigan.
Deal with what? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Pure comedy will never deal with a situation like Michigan where there's no continuing legal education requirements, as I understand it.
Right. In order to qualify for comedy, the person would have to come from a state that has mandatory CLE.
Oh, okay. And so pure comedy, if there were only, say, 20 credits, pure comedy would say, okay.
It would, yes.
Because you're principally in the other state. You're only occasionally here. That's the theory. That's why you don't necessarily have to have exactly the same stuff.
Yes.
And who's going to decide what principal means? A lawyer whose practice is principally in another U.S. jurisdiction, the lawyer is going to have to say, my principal, if principal is what, less than 50%, 30%, to be defined.
I don't think that's going to come into play very much. I think the board is going to accept the lawyer certification. Questions, comments? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Levine. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak? Ms. Jones?
Thank you, Tom. Good morning. Thank you for this opportunity. I thought that I would just speak briefly, since you've heard about the non-resident lawyers division's preferences from the state bar president and from the immediate past president. I thought it would be appropriate for the president of the non-resident lawyers division to speak to you. As has been stated, the non-resident lawyers division has been working on this issue for a decade. Its primary goal has been pure comedy. The difficulty over the years has been the relationship with the BBE, which is much improved with their new director. And so we're pleased with the fact that there's an effort to strike a compromise. We objected to the first language they presented, which was language that included a lawyer who does not regularly practice in Wisconsin. We felt that that was undefined and unclear. And then they offered that. We offered something counter, the state bar did, And then they came back with the current language that you're considering. But the reason I'm speaking before you today, standing before you, is to reinforce that our preference and ideal is comedy. For I think all of the reasons that have been discussed here, it's easier to administer, it's simpler, it's more direct. And Mr. Levine is our resident expert on comedy across the country. But as I understand it, the distinctions are minor between the jurisdictions that have mandatory CLE. We may require a few more credits, a few less in terms of ethics. Other states may offer more credits and vice versa, but it's a distinction without a difference. So I just wanted you to hear the voice of the NRLD clearly in terms of our preference. If that does not occur, we will gladly accept whatever the court grants, including what's being sought by the BBE. But we just wanted to clarify that that's been the voice and the position that I've been hearing loud and clear. When I first joined the NRLD board, it's the first issue I've heard about, and it's the most consistent issue I've heard about from our members. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jones. Does anyone else wish to appear? Yes, sir.
Thank you. My name is Paul Conrad. I'm a non-resident lawyer. I'm appearing on my own behalf, though I am a member of the board of the Non-Resident Lawyers Division, former president, and a non-resident lawyer in Washington, D.C. I've been on the Board of Bar Examiner Review Committee for the State Bar over most of the last 10 years, and have been one of the major proponents for comedy. The only thing I'd like to add to what's already been said very eloquently by Mr. Levine, Mr. Basting, and Ms. Jones is that one of the issues that comes up, which the court's raised, is the issue of what about if you're a JAG lawyer, for instance, you don't have to take any, you could be inactive. What happens to a lot of our non-resident members is that because the BBE has a rule that even if you take one case during a year, you must comply with all CLE requirements. So you often have someone who doesn't plan to be in Wisconsin or take a Wisconsin case but is a Wisconsin attorney. They can't take the inactive option. If they're called in because of a family member or some other reason where they're asked to appear in a Wisconsin court. And this is one of the areas that causes problems for us. And I just would raise that as another thing for you to consider. Thank you.
Does D.C. have a mandatory requirement?
No, ma'am, they do not.
So what do you do? Say you're active but that you don't practice here?
In my case, I maintain an active status.
Right.
In Wisconsin.
But do you file for CLE or do you say I don't practice here?
I file for CLE. Any questions?
I'm sorry, I have to ask here. Ms. Jones is from Atlanta. You are here from Washington, D.C.?
Yes, sir.
And there's someone from Chicago and Oakdale. Are you coming just on your own? Or how did you get here? I mean, is this is like...
They have a Thanksgiving
national
weekend.
Movement. I mean,
no, sir. I came at my own expense. I've been working on this for over 10 years with the State Bar. Something very important. I've been very involved with non-resident lawyers for a long time, and it's been an issue that's caused us a lot of concern. And to see that we've gotten this far with the help of the Board of Bar Examiners, it's come this far, and the Board of Bar Review Committee working together, it's kind of pretty historic to us.
Please.
Jones?
Thank you for that question. The Non-Resident Lawyers Division Board meets three times a year, and at our fall meeting in Chicago, where we discussed this at length and bar leadership was present, we decided to send three representatives, specifically one from Illinois and one from Minnesota, because those are our largest chapters, and also to send the president. Our Illinois chapter is covering the expenses of that representative, same for Minnesota chapter, and the non-resident lawyers division budget as part of the State Bar is covering my expenses. Because of his long-term passion, attorney Conrad has come on his own. And that's why we're here.
Thank you, Ms. Jones. Does anyone else wish to speak on this matter? Hearing no one, hearing on 0708 in the matter of the petition for amendments to Supreme Court Rule SCR 3104 relating to the creation of a comedy rule for continuing legal education is closed. We have no other hearings today. The court will now proceed to an open administrative conference. We'll be back shortly. We are in adjournment on rules hearings. Thank you.